This morning, I'd like to thank my friend, Associate Professor Tom Imboden. He is joining me this morning, SIU College of Applied Sciences, and he brought a victim along this morning, Trent Taylor. Trent, one of his students, and also, my understanding, a champion programmer. All right, we'll get to that in a couple of moments.
Graduate, too. SIU graduate.
Well, I want to talk about that, by the way, especially when it comes to job hunting. Tom, first off, it's good to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks for having us.
Now, here's the thing, guys. I don't normally talk about this kind of stuff, but this will make sense to you guys because you get it. You know, when I look at an idea for an interview, I look at who does it help, who does it hurt, what's the purpose, all right? And people could say, well, you know, you want to talk about SIU and you want to talk about how good a job they did at the recent, show off in cyber hacking and protection. Yeah, but think about this. Today's world, with what Trent and what you teach, is there one person who's listening to a radio station who's not affected?
I think there's that one person, but not listening to the radio. They're probably in a cave someplace.
Right?
Other than that, no.
I mean, think about this. You guys have, but let's together and chime in anytime you want to chime in here, guys. Who doesn't this affect? And I'd have a hard time. Like I said, somebody in Pope County who's living in a cabin, in a hermit, and has a crank-up radio or something maybe.
Right.
Your doctor's records, your financial records, your driving history, your educational, your resumes. I mean, we literally have a life that has been turned into a binary code and is on dozens, millions of servers everywhere. And then the photographs of you and things you do and things that are in your house. I mean, when you think about the future in relationship to what you're teaching here at SIU's School of Applied Science, and I'm trying to think of somebody, and I'm hard-pressed, from the dentist to the doctor to the bank
everywhere.
To your driving record.
Everyone, yeah. And, I mean, if you think about, like, the water crisis we had last week, and with utilities coming online and sometimes being shown not to have the best security, that could potentially happen. Via a weaponized
power grid.
Yeah, weaponized malware. So it's crazy.
International banking, where huge sums of money are moved from one place to the next.
Uh huh.
And some of that might be yours.
And the protections are across the board. You know, but some of those things, if you get fall victim to, you have no recourse. I mean, with your credit cards, you've got recourse. But if somebody convinces you to transfer them some money and you do it, you're out of luck.
Yep. He was going to say up a creek.
Yeah.
Hey, Trent, I want to ask you. Trent, you just graduated this year?
Yeah.
I mean, when you went in, did you do what you want, or did, as you went through, you found there was a better place for you to go to get where you wanted to be and with your goals? I mean, and what did you learn to do and how?
I mean, yeah. I initially went back in, I was up in Springfield area, and so I initially went to Lincoln Land for graphic design. And then when I moved down here, I was like, it's fun, but I think I'd like it more as a hobby. So a professor suggested I do CIS at John A. And so I messed around with that.
CIS is?
Computer Information Systems.
All right.
And so I did that for a while, and then I did a slight change add some more electronic stuff to the degree, but once I got that, I knew I wanted to go to SIU after, and so once I got on that course, I mostly stayed the same.
All right. So when it comes to affecting everybody and the way I set this up, what do you know, and how do you, I mean, set up defenses, for lack of a better word, fighting people off in an attack, making the system impenetrable firewalls? I mean, is that what your specialty is now?
I mean, yeah, like a lot of that is like in businesses, you do have an opportunity to defend yourself, and you don't always have that. Like, that's the scary thing about that. Like, you mentioned everyone's affected. I mean, like, there's plenty of defenses you can take. You don't sign up for something, right? But that doesn't help if necessarily for a credit score, right? You can't help that you have a credit score, mostly.
Right.
So you have to
But you have to be aware of it.
Yeah, you have to be aware of it. You have to defend what you can defend. And for the rest of those things, make sure you are aware of it and how you can mitigate problems there.
Right. And I signed up for a pizza app yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Or day before yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Right? I didn't want to deal with it, right? And I signed up, and I can push a button, and a pizza gets delivered. Pretty good deal.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, well, you know, was that a mistake? You know, didn't use my debit card number, right? Use a credit card number. But I mean, and you think, is this the one? Or, you know, is it the credit card I used at the grocery store today? Is that the one that exposes me to where what little I do have is gone?
Yeah, and I mean, with some of these smartphone apps, you just don't have the visibility into how they do security, whether they're encrypting and whether they're authenticating properly, as well as you would if you're just using your, you know, your browser on your computer. So it's scary. They're getting better, but I know there's been plenty of instances of companies coming out and admitting that they were doing things wrong on their smartphone apps. And while we're all, you know, using them because it's convenient as heck, you know,
right. It is.
I order my pizzas online on my phone
boom,
too.
Boom, boom.
Yeah,
and it was awesome.
Yeah,
right. And I would and here I am because I'm old, Trent. You probably noticed. but I'm not customarily afraid of things, new technology. I've had to learn a lot of new technology in the years that I've been in radio. But that exposure is the problem. Learning the stuff, but Tom's, you know, are you dealing with the right kind of company? Do they have precautions?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's your thoughts when so much of your life has been placed on the internet, Facebook we'll talk about, for instance? I mean, how do you feel about this? I was reading, and I think I told you this, Tom, but when in 1960, 1970, the idea of you having a speaker in your phone that everybody, right, that Amazon can be listening, or Google Home,
uh-huh.
I mean, if you'd introduced that in 1972, they would have come at you with pitchforks.
Yeah.
All right, now it's come on in. And I read this editorial that said, we're going to become accustomed to this type of oversight, and it'll be much like getting undressed in front of your dog. You'll just be accustomed to it. And I was wondering what your thoughts are from your age point standpoint.
I mean, yeah, I guess it's always interesting. Like when you people are like, "Oh, you got to be careful. You put a line," and then it's like, "Yes and no." Like you got to think. I always think about like, in 20 years, are we going to be as sensitive to like things that happen in people's past now? Because everyone has this. There's just so much ubiquitous information, and it's like some of it you can't avoid. And
which is kind of what I've thought about a lot of information. If they're going to be able to pick me out of 350 million Americans online in this country and find something pertinent, needle in the haystack is nothing compared to this.
Well, I'd like to point out that I don't get undressed in front of my dog. I make them leave the room.
Leave the room. All right. So where his standards are. But, you know, when it comes to this, how many years did you spend, Trent, getting where you are today at SIU and your previous classes? Because I know some of that was graphic design.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you include the graphic design, probably like 6 or 7 years just because off time and all that. But, like, in computer studies specifically, like 5 years of, like, dedicated and I was always a bit into them.
5 years is really a bearing down, we'll call
it. Yeah.
So after graduation, what were your prospects for employment?
I took a job with Cerner out in Kansas City.
What's Cerner do? I'm sorry.
They do healthcare IT, so they track all the stuff they need to do for that.
Huge company.
And yeah.
They're looking for like 3,000 more people in the next 5 years or something crazy like that. So,
did they headhunt you?
No. I was just applied for them because I'd interned with AMC Theaters in Kansas City because I've worked there for 2 years here, and so they had an opportunity there. But I loved Kansas City, and I remember every time I'd meet someone, like half of them would be like, "Yeah, I worked for Cerner," or "I'd work with Cerner now." You meet someone at a theater, and they're like, "Oh, so yeah, Cerner's pretty cool." And so I was like, "Well, I'll go apply for them."
And what you're talking about is a group that probably works for other healthcare systems across the country,
right?
In medical science, IT, it's weird how you mentioned this because the last two, three, I know the last two guys, I met them while they were having lunch, both IT guys, both in healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about a big percentage healthcare?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge, huge industry.
I can see why.
With the recent changes in the money that's been spent to get everybody online, healthcare organizations want to have patient portals available, and they want them to be secure. You want to be able to request your prescription refills online or through your phone, and Cerner was one of these companies that's helping facilitate that, and also innovating a lot in terms of like community healthcare and it's important. It's really important, and it's needed. And we've seen over the last 6 or 7 years, probably 100 of our IST graduates go there and work. And so they do. They come down and they recruit from us very heavily because of the quality of the students that we hopefully put out there to come help them lead the way in the healthcare IT field.
All right. So there's good guys and there's bad guys in your world, Trent.
Yeah. And sometimes there's both at once.
And that's interesting. So what do you mean by that?
You'll find out a lot of people, like, they'll do a normal job every 9 to 5, and then you'll see that they do a lot of the black hat stuff on the side as well.
This is a tool and trade that clearly has to also be maintained. If you go out and learn anatomy, the human body's not going to change 5 years. You go out and learn server code, whatever code goes, but the server, the hardware, chances are there's going to be a change. You have to keep an eye on a moving target for you when it comes to being capable.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, this is one of, like, the biggest things I try and tell other students is, like, just read about new IT news daily. Like, every day, go learn something new, read it, because you're just going to be hopelessly lost if you don't keep up.
Well, it's like today. Today's story, you may not have heard this. Now they're asking everybody in the United States to unplug their router.
Right.
Yeah. You guys already knew. I should have known. Tom did. He's like, I knew about that
was
yesterday,
the FBI, I think, was right. Put that out.
And this is because of Russian code, they believe, that's been placed in routers. Not the first time they've said that this year.
Right.
Because there was a little something else floating around. But what's interesting is whenever I take a look at my network, just flip open my smartphone and have it look for all the networks in my neighborhood, I can hit like 7. Now they're all secured or whatever the case, but it gives you an idea. You used the term ubiquitous a while ago. Yes, ubiquitous. Everybody seems like they've got a Wi-Fi, you know?
Right.
Well, and a million ways to get at it.
I'm out in the middle of the country, so
I don't
pick up anyway.
You get in town and you're close, or you're stacked and racked on top of people in apartment buildings or a close neighborhood where people, you start seeing it's everywhere. Every one of those is an entry point. And then anybody who's in the house who just opens every damn attachment sent to them in the email, you got those people. I do not envy you when it comes to medical and people who open bad emails.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's another thing that we're seeing is, you know, corporations are being pressured by auditors and even insurance agencies that provide them with coverage to do IT security training and to do security awareness so that they can at least, you know, say that they've done their due diligence and trying to get their people to know not to do the things that we don't want them to do, like opening those attachments or clicking those links, and just to be more skeptical in general, because there's
I didn't think we were a shortage on skepticism, but we are in many respects. I think there's a level of it's in my mailbox, I must trust.
There is, yeah. And I've seen over the last few years that people are less and less likely to just willy-nilly open attachments and get infected. But, you know, we have students who work on campus help desk, and, you know, they come and they tell me it's the same people every week who keep clicking on the links, getting the viruses, and it ultimately comes down to we need some better training.
Did you just hear that subtext of frustration with people who don't know what the hell they're doing? I just heard it, but because Tom is one of the most sedate guys, and I love you for it too, by the way. You control yourself, which for a teacher is a good thing too, right, Trent? But that whole how many times do we have to tell you thing? And here's the thing. I hear that a lot. I read it a lot everywhere that, don't you understand that lack of understanding, that generational gap that went on between what, I mean, we didn't feel threatened by the Commodore, right? But we've got to the point where every computer is a potential weapon when it comes to, I use weapon and I shouldn't because that senses violence. But every computer is a source of potential crime.
Right.
I can rob, I can steal, I can take images of you from a remote area while your 16-year-old daughter is showering with her laptop open. There seems to be this constant parade of technological horror stories.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's gotten worse, but, you know, the news media picks up on the bad ones, and it scares us, right? Because it is so ingrained in what we do and how we live today. And you know, like, did you hear the one about the Amazon Alexa listening and sending it to somebody else without them knowing, sending a text message?
Random words that compile to the point where the AI thought that's what it was supposed to do.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know I could order it to record. I know I can go in and erase my records, my voice recordings. But I didn't know. At some point, it had been told to record.
Right.
And then found the
Shipped
name of
the... Shipped it off to somebody else.
Right.
Yeah.
I have noticed in Amazon, you notice the new commercials don't set off the Amazon Alexa, something they've coded it in some way that now it knows that commercial is not to be responded to.
Well, I'm never going to have one of those Alexas. So.
I have one.
Do you?
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, Tom, I enjoy it. I really like it. control my lights, control temperatures. I haven't touched a light switch or a thermostat in my house for the better part of a year.
Wow.
I haven't touched one. There's
you're,
a lot of good
you're more connected
stuff.
Than I am.
Really? Which I find hard to believe.
Well,
but
I've
then
got
again,
really, really crappy internet. So.
Oh, okay. Well, now that I've moved into town, I've got the really, really uncrappy internet, and it's very cool.
Yeah.
We invite you to come in town and join the rest of civilization, Tom.
I'll stay out in the country.
Tom.
Good call, by the way, too. I'll go with that, too. Stay out your house. Trent, what do you see in your future?
I'd love to just keep learning cybersecurity and, like, go all over that profession. I mean, hoping to do specifically cybersecurity at Cerner. But after that, I'd love to keep exploring the field because there's just so much you can do with so many different areas.
And it's not even all been done yet.
No. There's all kinds of cool stuff.
But still yet is coming. I mean, I was watching Billions rerun, and what do they talk about? A huge deal was an app that can read your physical readings, works through an app, reports it back to an AI, and gives you basically a physical and what prescription drugs you need, and overlooks your, just an idea, right? Somebody's throwing out, but you get an idea that there's always somebody's got another idea.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How many students you graduate this year, cybersecurity?
With the cybersecurity focus, I think we probably were around 25,
right.
And then more with the general IST degree program.
All right. You had a competition this year?
We've had a few, yeah. We do a defensive competition. Got up to the regional competition up in Moraine Valley, Chicagoland. And then our groups of students, like Trent here, did an offensive competition and participated in that. And Trent came in first out of, 3,500 students nationwide?
First out of 3,500?
I think it was 2,500 actually participated.
Good call leaving graphic, huh?
Yeah. So
First place, dude, out of that many people, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. Quite an accomplishment. We're really proud of him. And it speaks to, you know, that SIU really has a lot of good things going. You know, despite what you hear in the news sometimes, there's good stuff happening, and we're glad to be able to tell about it.
But see, if I'm heading a company and I know I've got to get cyber help and I know I'm in a competitive market but I want the best, I would think that if I'm that guy who's in charge, HR, whoever it is, the CEO, I go look at one of these competitions, see who won, and then I go headhunting.
Yeah. No, I mean, but part of the competitions now are focused on recruiting for sponsors. And as part of the regional competitions, they all have to do mini speed interviews with the billion-dollar companies that help sponsor the event. So prepping their resumes and getting them looking good and polished is part of the preparation for the competitions now. And
I wouldn't doubt it, and I see why.
Yeah,
I've gotten resumes with people who filled them out with Sharpies.
Yeah, yeah, most of these students have their jobs, you know, months and months before they graduate. It's not uncommon for somebody to, you know, graduate in May but have known that they've got a job that pays well in September or October.
And I would imagine that's a good recruitment tool for your class, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And you see that many people going right from college right to an education so they can start paying his student debt.
Right.
Got to get busy.
Yeah.
Right? Because the pressure's there.
Definitely. And there's more employers, there's more jobs than we can crank out students, unfortunately.
Right.
And I guess that's a good problem to have.
When I look at this, see, because you always think, go to college for something, I'm seeing more and more vocational. And what's interesting, Trent, from my standpoint, there was one point beyond a question. This was a technical, a very elite group. But now, right, you look at this. I'm sorry if this is wrong, and I sure as hell don't mean it to be insulting. But I look at your program as vocational now. And
sure.
Because it's the change that this is well, like I said, it affects every single person. And you think, oh, it doesn't mean I've got an old car. Well, what about the guy who's got bad code in his software and his autopilot, his cruise control won't go off? We
right.
had 4.5 million cars recalled last week. Even when you hit the brake, cruise control won't go off.
And, I mean, all these cars.
IT guy.
All these cars are connected to cellular networks now. And there have been, fortunately, up till now, white hat hackers, good guys, that have demonstrated. I mean, there's a video that's out there that shows them shutting down this guy's car as he's driving down 64 in St. Louis.
Yeah. Saw it.
Yep. And they do all sorts of crazy things that you wouldn't expect to be happening in your car. But that's the world we live in.
Yeah. When we were up at Moraine Valley, that's one of the whole vehicles and cars was one of the things they talked about, like, very specific, like, they ended up saying, like, hey, we're making a competition just about hacking cars because it's going to be growingly a problem.
Which is the same thing they're doing at the automotive vocational at SIU because of the prevalence of computers. I just talked to Berman last week.
I heard that. Yep.
And saying, you know, look what we do. Got to go. Trent, real pleasure to meet you. Best of luck in Missouri.
Thank you.
Okay. Tom, it's always good to see you, Chief.
Good to see you.
Associate Professor Tommy Bowden from the College of Applied Sciences and his student Trent Taylor, who will be promptly graduating and going off to make a ton of money. At least that's the plan. I wanted to ask him how much he's going to make, but I figured that was rude.
Probably millions.
Millions.
More than professors.
And good for you is my first thought.